Chapter 35. Kylar ran, but Doubt ran faster. The sky was lightening in the east, and the city was showing its first signs of life. The odds of running into a patrol were small, especially because Kylar knew better than to run on the roads past the rich shops that somehow saw patrols more frequently than roads with poor shops. But if he did run into guards, what would he say? I was just out for a morning walk with dark gray clothes, illegal plants, a small arsenal, and my face smudged with ash? Right. He slowed to a walk. Mama Kay's wasn't far now anyway. What was he doing? Obeying a madman and a giant? He could almost see the veer rising from Dorian's arms, and it turned his stomach. Maybe not a madman. But what was their peace? The only people Kylar knew who did things just because they should were the Drakes, and he figured that they were the exception to the rule. In the Sakage, in the court, in the real world, people did what was best for themselves. Fi'ir and Dorian hadn't denied that they had other motives for coming to Cenaria, but they certainly acted like he was the most important thing. They'd acted like they really believed he would change the course of the kingdom. It was madness. But he had believed them. If they were just liars, wouldn't they try to tell him how great things would be if he killed Blint? Or were they just that much cleverer than most liars? It seemed that by what Dorian had said, that Kylar was going to lose everything no matter what he did. What kind of fortune-teller told you that? Still, Kylar found himself jogging again, and then running, startling a laundress filling her buckets with water. He stopped at Mama Kay's door, and suddenly felt uneasy again. Mama Kay stayed up late, and woke early every day, but if there was one time of the day that he could be sure she'd be in bed, it was right now. It was the only time of day that the door would be locked. Damn it! Would you just make a decision? Kylar rapped on the door quietly, berating himself for being a coward, yet deciding, all the same, that he would leave if no one answered it. The door opened almost immediately. Mama Kay's maid looked almost as surprised as Kylar was. She was an old woman, wearing a shift, with a shawl around her shoulders.
"Well, good morning, my lord, if you aren't a sight. I couldn't sleep. I just kept on thinking that we'd run out of flour for some reason, though I checked it just last night. For some reason, I couldn't get it out of my mind that it was all gone. I was just walking past the door to check it when you knocked. Oh, by the 12 nipples of Eryxula! I'm chattering like a daft old ninny."
Kylar opened his mouth, but a word wouldn't fit in the cracks of the ex-prostitute's rambling, edgewise or any other way.
"Time for a swift blow to the head, and a heave into the river, mistress," I tell her. And she just laughs at me. I do wish I were young. If only so I could see the look on your face like I used to get. Once these old sacks would make men stand up and take notice, you'd walk right into a wall because you couldn't take your eyes off. It used to be that the sight of me in my nightclothes, of course, I didn't wear old ladies' rags like this, neither, but if I wore the kind of stuff I used to, I'm afraid I'd scare the children. It does make me miss the...
Is Mama Kay awake?
What? Oh, actually, I think so. She hasn't been sleeping well, poor girl. Maybe a visit will do her good, though I think it was a visit from that Durzo that's got her knickers in such a bunch. It's hard at her age, going from what she's been to being like me. Almost 50 years old she is. It reminds me...
Kylar edged past her and walked up the stairs. He wasn't even sure the old woman noticed. He knocked and waited. No response. A sliver of light peeked through the crack along the sill, though, so he opened the door. Mama Kay sat with her back to him. Two candles burned almost to nubs provided the only illumination in the room. She barely stirred when Kylar came in. Finally, she turned slowly toward him. Her eyes were swollen and red, as if she'd been up all night crying. Crying? Mama Kay? Mama Kay? Mama Kay, you look like hell. You always did know just the thing to say to the ladies. Kylar stepped into the room and closed the door. It was then that he noticed the mirrors. Mama Kay's bedside mirror where she put on her makeup, her hand mirror, even her full-length mirror, every one of them was smashed. Shards twinkled feebly from the floor in the candlelight. Mama Kay, what's going on here? Don't call me that. Don't ever call me that again. What's going on? Lies, Kylar, she said, looking down at her lap, her face half concealed in the shadows. Beautiful lies. Lies I've worn so long I don't remember what's beneath them. She turned. In a line down the middle of her face, she'd wiped off all her makeup. The left half of her face was free of cosmetics for the first time Kylar had ever seen. It made her look old and haggard. Fine wrinkles danced across the once delicate, now merely small and hard, planes of Guinevere Kirenna's face. Dark circles under her eyes gave her a ghostly vulnerability. The effect of half of her face being perfectly presented and the other stripped was ludicrous, ugly, almost comic. Kylar covered his shock too slowly, not that he could ever hide much from her, but Mama Kay seemed satisfied to be wounded. I'll assume you're not here just to stare at a sideshow freak. So what do you want, Kylar? You're not a sideshow. Answer the question. I know what a man with a mission looks like. You're here for my help. What do you need? Mama Kay, damn it! Quit! No, damn you! Mama Kay's voice cracked like a whip. Then her mismatched eyes softened and looked beyond Kylar. It's too late. I chose this. Damn him, but he was right. I chose this life, Kylar. I've chosen every step. It's no good switching whores in the middle of a tumble. You're here about Durzo, aren't you? Kylar knuckled his forehead, put off track. He could read the look in her face, though. It said, discussion over. Kylar surrendered. Was he here about Durzo? Well, it was as good of a place to start as any. He said he's going to kill me if I don't find the Silver Kakari. I don't really even know what it is. She took a deep breath. I've been trying to get him to tell you for years, she said. 6 Kakari were made for Jorsan Alkesti's 6 champions. The people who used the Kakari weren't mages, but the Kakari gave them mage-like powers. Not like the feeble mages of today, either. The mages of 7 centuries ago. You are what they were. You're a Kakarifer. You were born with a hole in your talent that only a Kakari can bridge. Mama Kay and Durzo had both known all of this, and they were only telling him now? Oh, well, thanks. Can you direct me to the nearest magical artifact store, perhaps one with a discount for wet boys? Kylar asked. Even if there were such things, they've been either collected by the mages, or they're at the bottom of the ocean or something. Or something. Are you saying you know where the silver is? Consider this, Mama Kay said. You're a king. You managed to get a Kakari, but you can't use it. Maybe you don't have anyone you trust who can. What do? You keep it for a rainy day, or for your heirs. Maybe you never write down what it is because you know that people will go through your things when you die and steal your most valuable possession, so you plan to tell your son someday, before he takes the throne. In some way or another, though, as kings so often do, you get yourself killed before you can have that talk. What happens to the Kakari? The son gets it. Right. And doesn't know what it is. maybe even knows it's important, that it's magical. But like you said, if he ever tells the mages, they'll take it from him, or from his heirs sooner or later. So he keeps it, and he keeps it secret. After enough generations pass, it becomes just another jewel in the royal treasury. By the time 700 years go by, it's switched hands dozens of times, but no one has a clue what it is. Until one day, Kalador's god-king demands a tribute that includes one particular jewel, and a remarkably stupid king gives the very same jewel to his mistress.
"You mean..."
Kylar said. "I just found out today that Niner gave Lady Jadwin the silver kakari, the globe of edges. It looks like a small, oddly metallic jewel, like a diamond with a silver tint to it. It also happens to be one of Queen Nalia's favorite jewels. She thinks it's lost, and she's furious. So tomorrow night, someone the king trusts, I don't know who, will be sent to get it back. The Jadwins are having a party that night, so tomorrow the kakari will be exposed. No royal guards, no mages, no magically warded treasury. Lady Jadwin will either be carrying it, or it will be in her room. Kylar, you need to understand what's at stake. The Kakari supposedly choose their own masters, but the Kaladorans believe they can magically force a bond. If the God King succeeds, imagine a havoc a God King would wreak if he could live forever. It made prickles go up the back of Kylar's scalp. You really mean this, don't you? Have you told Durzo? Durzo and I'm not too inclined to help Durzo just now. But there's more, Kylar. I'm not the only one who knows this. Anguish twisted her features and she looked away. What do you mean? Kalador has hired someone to get it. That's how my spies found out in the first place. Supposedly the job is a smash and dash.
Supposedly?
They've hired Hugh Gibbet. Nobody would hire Hugh for a smash and dash. The man's a butcher.
I know,
Mama Kay said.
Then who's his debtor?
Take your pick. Half the nobles in the realm will be there. Your friend Logan has accepted his invitation. Perhaps even the prince will be there. Those two do seem to be inseparable, for all that they are night and day to each other.
Mama Kay, who's your spy? Can you get me an invitation?
She smiled mysteriously. My spy can't help you. But I know someone who can. In fact, despite my best efforts, you know her too.